Hey, everybody, there's a couple of people we want to thank for supporting us this month at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Let's kick it off with Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam Marks.
Andrew Richardson.
Ashton Gebhard.
Benjamin Brown.
Brett Macris.
Curtis LaRocque.
D-Man Ryan.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Fuentes.
Dennis Scott.
Edward Martinez.
Enrique Del Castillo.
Aaron Dorian.
Gabriel Romeo.
Jeffrey Reicher.
Gerald Patrick.
Hugo Sanchez.
Jason Kelly.
Jessica Ashcraft.
Joe.
John George.
Jonathan Jong.
Joseph Kelly.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Kaylin Swift.
Catherine Anison.
Kendall Wilson.
Clevin Kleinrock.
Lee Brown.
Lucas Inc.
Mark Kiefer.
Matt Fennell.
Megan Thigpen.
Michael Sturgeon.
Mike D'Argentino.
Mike D'Argenio. Yep. Mitchell McDonald.
Omnia Soul Art.
Perry Talaferro.
All right. Primetime Pauly G.
Rahadian Sastrowardio.
Riley Trahan.
Tamela Rush.
Terrible Jason.
The 12 Banch.
Victor Perez.
W. Blaine.
Weens 234.
Will Buchanan.
And Zika's Viral Comics.
Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. And now our live show.
We really appreciate it.
Hey, everybody, welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to talk about a bunch of comic books that come out today, Wednesday, and also a bunch of comic books that don't come out today, Wednesday, but come out on other Wednesdays.
This is breaking news. This is day and date hot content. We're going to talk.
Oh, we're going to get into it.
God, we're like Twitter. But for your ears.
Yeah, Twitter, but longer and for your ears and no politics, you know?
Oh, yeah, finally. Oh, should I break in every now and again with a crazy political tweet? I mean, conversation.
Yeah, let's only talk in 280 characters at a time. Here's something that focuses on one character, actually. Daredevil number one from Marvel Comics. This is Chip Zdarsky relaunching the title with the arts by Marco Cicchetto. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, that is correct.
So this is picking up off the long run that Charles Soule did on the title. Daredevil has a way of throwing down the gauntlet. This is actually something that we talked to Charles Soule a little bit out on our live show, that essentially the last issue of your Daredevil run is a little bit of a fuck you to the next author who's coming on.
Figure this out, idiot.
Yeah, pretty much. And what Charles Soule did was he killed Daredevil, at least for a little while. But then Daredevil, over the course of the Man Without Fear miniseries, was left broken. He was in physical therapy. He's not in the same shape he was. And he's not feeling confident in himself. So that's where we pick up. What did you think about this issue? How did this pick up on the long storied history of Daredevil?
Well, it's called No Fear, K-N-O-W.
Yeah.
So
it's more like he knows fear.
Yes. I think he's the man with fear.
Yeah.
This is very different from those t-shirts that I used to own in the 80s.
Yeah, that's true. Hold my trophy while I kiss your girlfriend. No fear.
That's her review of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Pete, what did you think about this? You're a big Daredevil fan.
Well, yes, I am. Thank you for that. Well, a couple things with this. First, we see the Daredevil, and this bothers me when they do this, when a new artist comes on, and it's like a younger, hipper-looking Daredevil, where he's doesn't look his age. He looks like an anime version, a younger anime version of the character we know and love. So super not
excited. I'm going to throw it out there. This is specifically your problem not with any artist. This is your problem with Marco Cicchetto, because I believe he was the same artist that took on Punisher and did the same thing with Frank Castle, and you had the same problem.
Well, yeah, I'm consistent, if not anything.
Okay, I think the art looks great, just to throw it out.
The art in general looks amazing, but when it comes to the specific character that we're all here for,
you want to see a decrepit old man with a bunch of weird cuts and scars?
Yeah, thanks for being so specific.
Here's the thing. I will say, speaking as a 21-year-old, that I like seeing people my age in comic books. That makes me feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Versus I recently read somebody said Batman is like 35. Yeah. Yo, Grandpa, who cares? You know?
Don't trust anyone who doesn't have an Instagram account. And does he? I don't think so.
Oh, man.
But hey, maybe that's a great arc. Batman gets on Instagram.
#NoFilter.
I did like the kind of flashbacks to the childhood. I thought that was very powerful and very cool.
Okay, so you only like them if they're a certain amount of young.
No, yeah. I'm just talking about, you asked me what I thought about this issue, and I was trying to break it down.
Right, but you started
in between
off with
you two assholes doing bits.
So I like what Chip Zdarsky puts on the table here. Mm-hmm. So Daredevil, Matt Murdock is in a bar. He's drinking. He feels much more like a regular guy, which you would say.
Picking up ladies.
A person who knows fear, has demons, is drinking away his problems. He's not great at being a superhero. He makes some mistakes. He almost dies by some like random dudes on the street. And there's definitely the religious factor is here again as a strong presence, which I feel like the last couple writers, Charles Soule, Mark Waid, have sort of moved away from a little bit. I guess Charles Soule had a little bit with
he was more like, focused on the kind of like lawyer stuff. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But he had some warrior popes in there, I believe, briefly. So I like this stuff. I think Chip Zdarsky is a good writer. He can really he really takes stories in different directions and brings new takes on sort of stuff we've seen before. So yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, I really like this as well, too. I agree with Pete that the flashback sequences were very good, peppered mm-hmm. throughout the issue. I think overall the structure and the layout of the issue was really interesting and worked very nicely
yep.
to reorient new readers with Daredevil, to make Chip Zdarsky's mark on it, and arguably, without getting into any spoilers, Chip Zdarsky does a bigger fuck you for himself at the end of the issue than the way that he's introed into the issue, because I spent a lot of it thinking, okay, this is good, this is well written, but what is his take? What is his idea on yeah. Daredevil? Mm-hmm. And I think we really get that right at the very end there, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Good last page reveal.
Moving on to the biggest Instagram star currently out there right now, Batman number 64 from DC Comics. Now, this is a little bit of a break in the Tom King run. This is written by Joshua Williamson, who's been on The Flash and a couple of other titles. And this is tying into what's going on in Heroes in Crisis over by Tom King. Joshua Williamson and Tom King worked together on a crossover called The Button that tied into the whole Watchmen thing that's going on right now, Doomsday Clock. So this is, in a weird way, a reteaming of sorts. But we're going to see a multi-part story that runs through both Flash and Batman as they investigate things that are kind of tangentially happening with Heroes in Crisis. So that intro out of the way, what did you guys think about this issue?
Well, I couldn't take it. I mean, it was way too intense at the start. I mean, Batman standing over the Flash's body like he's going to operate and stuff. I was like, no, new intense, too intense for me. Fuck you. What the fuck, man? That's a crazy way to start a comic.
So you read the first page and you were out.
Nah, I'm out. I'm out.
Of all
no,
the crazy things we see in comics, you're like a friend performing surgery on another friend?
Yeah, it was
friend?
Just it was the fact that, like, he also walked away from the table. So, like, you know, it was... It's a powerful way to kind of start an issue, and it made me very uncomfortable.
We should say Pete is having surgery coming up, so I think
and we're doing it.
We're doing it, right? Yeah. Exactly. So I look forward to cutting you up.
Oh my god!
Getting my hands on the inside.
I love to be inside Pete's guts. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
But
what
this
you mean.
Is seriously intense for like a filler issue of what's going on. I mean, this was.
But it's not. Heroes in Crisis is all about trauma. It's all about PTSD. They're not trying to do something that's like, this is a fun tie-in to find out more about this cool mystery. Because what did you think Heroes in Crisis is? Heroes in Crisis is traumatic on a
very much
basis.
So.
Yeah.
So, of course, the tie-in
that's also
is
freaking
be well.
Me out.
I'm glad they're not doing more tie-ins to this.
Yeah, I agree. This I always feel like Batman and the Flash is a weird pairing. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to have a lot to talk about and sort of don't like each other.
Right. So, but they're both detectives.
Yeah. But the thing with Flash is he's a detective, but he's also like sort of fun.
Yeah.
So there's always tension between those two things within the Flash character. So,
but I think that's okay, right? I mean, that's good drama because they do have to team up for specific reasons on this mystery, same as they did have to on The Button, but they don't really like each other to report.
But I feel like when the
It's a classic Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw dynamic.
Wow, very cool reference.
I'm 21.
Great trailer. No, can't wait.
Definitely. All 21-year-olds pronounce the entire name of every movie. for sure. But I feel like when the Flash is around, it highlights what a bummer Batman is a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because the Flash is a detective and he's just like regular. He talks to people. He's like, I'll go do that. And Batman's like, oh, I guess I could help.
I'm going to punch this glue.
Yeah. So it's just a weird vibe to me a little bit. I like the issue. Josh Williamson is a writer I really like. He does a comic called Birthright that I'm always talking
about. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And so this was a good issue.
I'm curious to see where this specifically goes and how it does ultimately tie into Heroes in Crisis. This is very much an introductory issue. There's some weird stuff going on with Batman that I'm curious to follow along.
Yeah. He seems nervous.
Yeah.
But they also called back two characters that I was surprised got brought back because I thought we were done with those two. The brother and sister duo there.
Oh, yeah. Gotham and Gotham Girl.
Yeah. I was kind of like, oh, shit.
I like that, though. I like that they have become a part of the Batman canon. It's interesting if anyone's worried about the lack of Tom King here. It still feels pretty kingy.
Yep. Yeah, there's the whole nine-panel grid thing going on. It's super serious and dramatic, as Pete mentioned. So don't worry, you'll feel right at home. Moving on to an Image comic book, Die, number 3. We've been loving the series,
or at least
Justin and I have been loving it. Remind me, Pete, you were okay with the second issue?
That's right.
Okay, so the idea of the book is essentially these kids were sucked into a role-playing game, got spit out, their lives were ruined. Years later, decades later, they get sucked back in, then forced by their old friend who is trapped there to play the game again. And as we find out this issue, it's not just riffing on Dungeons and Dragons, it's riffing on fantasy tropes as a whole.
Yeah.
Specifically this issue on Tolkien, the myths of Tolkien, but actually the real life of Tolkien as well. I thought this issue was great. How about you guys?
I agree. I love the way that this series is just expanding the premise. Like you're saying, like this felt like it like a it's a take on Tolkien's life and a take on World War One with that inspired World War One and World War Two that inspired Tolkien when he was writing the Lord of the Rings series. And we get that vibe just across the board while still telling the tale that he that is meant to be here.
Yeah, the back matter is really interesting where Kieran Gillen goes into depth about the structure of the book. And I never really thought about this before. He talks about Planetary and how this was an influence specifically on this book. And the idea with Planetary was they were exploring pop culture and how it influenced superhero comics, investigating mysteries. And ultimately that book's goes in crazy directions that you definitely should check out. It's so good. But here he reveals, okay, the first issue is the pitch. It's the one that's like, I'm going to sell you on it. The second one is where you just very hastily expand the world. And this issue, his feeling, is the one where you reveal where it's actually about. And in his mind, similar to how Planetary was about how pop culture informed and infused superhero comics, this is really about fantasy and how that has informed comics in a similar way.
And the connection between the real world into fantasy and how that can now comment back on the real world and the
comics. Which is great. I'm even more excited about the series now that we've gotten into
it. I love it.
I really enjoyed this issue. I thought like it did a good job of like getting into the meat of what we're about. And so I'm very happy it's no longer in the real world. We're in this cool fantasy world because the art is really taken off, especially in this issue with the panels and stuff. So I was super impressed. I really like this comic.
It's funny you say that. The getting into the meat is what I have on my calendar for the day we give you your surgery.
Can't wait to get into that meat.
Should we move on, Pete?
Yeah, let's.
Great. We have a bunch of advanced Valiant comics to talk you guys through.
Don't spoil it, Justin.
Yeah, I never would. I'm going to be valiant about not spoiling.
First one we're going to talk about, though, this is coming out February 20th, Incursion number one. Now, something that I always think is very interesting that we talk about almost every time with the Valiant comics, but they have a tendency to relaunch these books, but come at them with very specific ideas. So this is actually an Eternal Warrior Geomancer book.
I love that.
But structured as an event telling its own singular story, potentially it'll open up a little bit more. But that's kind of what you're getting into here. The idea of the book is that another world starts incurring on this world and what that means for the Eternal Warrior, what that means for the new Geomancer going forward. I thought this was an intriguing introduction and I really like those characters. How about you guys?
I agree. The art was very cool. I think Valiant does a great job of really tying their events in with their everyday titles. And like you're saying, it weaves in and out sort of seamlessly. So you're always reading an event and it feels nice as an introduction to the character you're there to see.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree. I was saddened by this book because all hope is lost. I mean, the baddie in this comic is so evil. Whoa. It's like, we've got no shot. Like, why continue with this story? It's super clear that we're all fucked now, and this person is crazy evil.
Yeah, it's a one-shot where the Valiant universe ends.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole, you don't need to read anymore because they're done.
Yeah,
this is their swan song.
They
and in fact, you can do that. This is really interesting. With every comic, the first issue always ends on a down note, and they're always over.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how I never noticed that
before. I feel like we've been doing the show for 13 years. You would have picked up on it.
Yep. Guess not.
Yeah, we haven't talked about comics in 12 years because they all ended after number ones.
Yeah. It's been mostly empty, vacant podcasts. Just,
yeah, like we look back. Have you ever listened back to an old episode? It's silence. Yeah. Just breathing.
Mostly asthma. Is that what it is? Asthma? Asthma?
Huh?
I don't know.
ASMR?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you say the letters. You don't say asthma.
I don't know. I'm 21. I say everything and pronounce it.
You definitely do. Yeah. And once again, that's an old person thing to do.
Great. Moving on to an Image comic book, Curse Words number 20. Woo-hoo. We've been really loving this series. Huge twists in this issue.
Yeah.
So the idea of the book is there's this guy named Wizord. He comes from a magical dimension, comes through to our dimension, is kind of a dick, learns to be a little bit less of a dick, but there's a bunch of twists and turns on the way, and oh man, this issue really starts to bring things together. I'm even hesitant to spoil anything.
Yeah, let's not spoil it.
Okay, let's not spoil it. But how did you feel about everything started to come together in this issue?
I mean, it does. Charles Soule does a great job here of like taking this book that is sort of like, it's like, is it funny? Is it like super serious? And he just does it. He just combines them like a magician.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah, this was an intense.
But you're the super fan here.
This was an intense issue. I love this book very much. I'm concerned with how things are going to unfold, but I got to trust Charles Soule here. He hasn't steered us wrong yet. So, things take some turns, not for the good in this issue, but man, I cannot wait to see the next issue.
Which is crazy because this was not a first issue. And as we know, first issues are the last issues of comics.
Right.
But this one seems to have gone on an additional 19 issues.
Yeah, impressive.
Very weird.
The 20th first issue.
Big stuff happens for Margaret, the now koala in this issue, which is great. There's also, and we should have known this was coming because again, Charles Soule, very well-structured writer, but there's seemingly random bit that's been running through all of the issues that actually pays off in an enormous way midway through this issue, which I absolutely did not see coming.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely pick it up if you're a fan or otherwise. Moving on to another Valiant book out February 13th. We've been really loving this series as well. Livewire number 3.
Oh, yeah.
This issue was great. I know we say this about every issue, but Livewire has had her powers taken away or at least dampened exponentially. She's been dealing with the fact that she doesn't really realize it, and she comes to realize it this issue, but she essentially destroyed the world or attack the world. She doesn't see herself as the bad guy, but that's what she comes face to face with in this issue. That's essentially one long brawl in the rain,
and it's a brawl where like it's like a brawl that she's just losing. There's not a lot of like punches thrown. It's it's more of a conversation with occasional fighting.
Yeah,
my favorite kind of conversation.
Oh my god, this was intense though. I thought this was so well put together. How'd you feel about it, Pete?
This series has been amazing. This was a tough issue, though, because it doesn't give us a lot of hope for our character here. But, man, does it raise the stakes and kind of explain another perspective. I was loving it, but I'm worried about what's going to happen.
It feels like a battle of philosophies above anything, this series, and it's really nice. Like it's played in such a nice way. It reminded me a little bit of Black Panther, the Killmonger versus Black Panther fight and conversation in the movie, where it's like at the end of it, you're sort of like, oh, wait. They're both have some good points, and in this issue, that's definitely true. So, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I also want to shout out to the art, which is very sparse throughout, very well structured, very simple, but gets the intensity of the fight across, and the fact that, as you mentioned, Livewire is pretty much losing the entire time.
Yeah,
the sense of loss that is in her face that comes through the art is great.
She's losing both physically and mentally and philosophically throughout the whole book, which is wild.
You don't usually
see that.
I had no idea how much I would like this series, but I truly love it at this point. Moving on to another one that I'm sure we'll have no issues with whatsoever. Uncanny X-Men number 11 from Marvel Comics. So the X-Men are gone. They lost to X-Man, who took 99% of them or so.
Many of them.
Yes, at least 90% if you actually want to go with decimation or something. And shunted them to an alternate dimension. That's where they are. Meanwhile, the remaining mutants are left behind, including Cyclops, who is back from the dead.
He back.
And we as happy. We also find out this issue.
We ain't happy.
As we also find out this issue, Wolverine is back as well. We knew that, but he is finally back center in the Marvel Universe. This is the kickoff to the next evolution of Uncanny X-Men. I got to say, before Pete yells at us, I just want to mention, so this issue is mostly Cyclops being sad and getting into scrapes and fucking things up, which is great. And then Wolverine comes out, and I was like, fuck yeah. And that is exactly the reaction I think you should have to Wolverine coming back after all this time. And I don't usually have that. Like, I do not care about Wolverine as much as you do. So kudos to this issue. Kudos to Matt Rosenberg for structuring it in the right way to build up to that. I thought it was great.
It's the adventures of Bub and Slim back together again.
Yeah, when he says Slim, though, that was powerful.
That was fun.
First off, this comic sucks for a lot because it's just Cyclops being a complete douchebag.
Your opinion is based only on...
He's a fucking douchebag. He's drunk, shooting his laser into the sky like some... You know, there's a plane going by, huh? What the fuck? You could shoot a satellite. You can't just shoot laser beams into the night, you drunken piece of shit.
People put flashlights up in the air all the time.
So it's interesting. So you're saying that, like, he kind of isn't seeing very well in front of him, sort of like he has a very myopic view of the world, like a Cyclops. Cyclops, if you will. That's interesting. What an interesting character choice, idiot.
Now we're talking.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, just insult the guy you do a podcast with for 13 years. That's cool.
Yeah, wow. Pretty weird hearing that come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Talk about curse words. But here's the thing. What happened?
So the complete douche, then Wolverine has to show up as always and be like, yo, you need to get it together, otherwise, you know, I'm gonna have to murder you in front of everybody. And I think it's just, it shows what a great character Wolverine is, that not only does he put up with Cyclops' bullshit, but, you know, lets him, like, fucking, you know, be his douchey self, you know?
Pete, that's so funny you say that, because here's what's going on in this issue.
Yeah.
Cyclops has become classic Wolverine, and Wolverine has become classic Cyclops.
Nope.
Cyclops is sort of a mess, doesn't really know what's going on, is trying to figure it out. He keeps messing up. He lets rage overtake him. Shoots his I-beams in the sky. Wolverine, on the other hand, is working behind the scenes, being the Boy Scout, trying to keep everything on track. They've switched places, and you like Cyclops, who's Wolverine now.
No, I don't.
What happened here.
Dude, he showed up at a rally and shot up a bunch of people.
That's a Wolverine. That's a Wolverine thing to do.
Captain America had to be like, yo, what the fuck is your deal,
that's
guy?
That's a Wolverine thing to do.
I'm going to agree with Justin here. Also, just to mention about the structure of the issue. So the first half of the issue focuses on Cyclops, brings it up to speed with Wolverine coming there, and then they have to team up. And then the second half of the issue shows what was going on with Wolverine while that was happening. Great structure there.
Yeah,
there's
really
a great
smart
bit with Jamie Madrox, Multiple Man, where in the first half of the issue, he says this very cool line to Cyclops. And then the second half of the issue, you find out actually Wolverine said it first.
Yeah.
And Madrox is like, oh,
Wolverine said
cool
first
line. So great bit. And then we have a really sad story with Blindfold as well. And real bummer.
Very sad.
This is very interesting to me because we just rebooted Uncanny X-Men. This feels like yet another reboot, 11 issues in.
Yeah. But I like it. I feel like I wanted them to take some risks with the X-Men franchise for a long time.
You've
and it feels like
that.
They're actually doing it. And I like the moves.
Yeah, this is great. I can't wait to see what happens with this team. Cyclops, Wolverine back together. Tons of fun.
I just hope Cyclops is, I keep getting it mixed up. I hope Cyclops is able to pop his eye blasts every now and again.
You're such a douche.
Because he is the best he is. Best there is at what he does.
Yeah, he'll just blast them and they'll go snicked.
Yeah.
Moving on to another Image Comics books, Vindication number one that came out. This was all right. Okay, moving on. What did you guys think about this book? No? So, to give it credit, the art is not bad throughout. The characters are pretty well drawn. But this seems to be tackling a lot of stuff, including racism. It seems to maybe be a racist cop as our hero.
Corruption in the police force.
Sure.
Well, that's what I think. My main criticism here is it's there's a lot going on, and it's very wordy, so it's hard. And you don't know whose point of view we're hearing from.
And who is right and who is wrong.
But I think that I think is the point, is we don't know who's right and who's wrong. It deals with a guy that goes to jail and then is released, and then a one of the jurors that testified against or that weighed in on his case was the jury on his case dies, and so it's like, oh, did this guy come back and do it? It's a white cop, a black prisoner. So there's a lot on the table here, but you don't really know what the deal is.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you kind of think you do, but then you don't. I mean, I was very excited because I thought it had a very powerful cover to this comic. And I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. We're really going to get into things. And I still have hope for this comic.
Yeah.
But as a first issue, I don't know whose side I'm on. I don't know who's good or bad. It's fucking muddy as shit.
And maybe that's cool. Maybe it's trying to say, like,
maybe
this,
it'll pay off.
This is a complicated issue that we're dealing with a complicated story.
I just don't think dialogue-wise or character-wise is necessarily dealt with in depth enough or in a clear way. One thing I will
point
out.
But I think it's on purpose.
I don't think so. Okay. One thing I want to point out without lumping on this comic book too much, but this, interestingly to me, had the opposite problem of a lot of other first issues, particularly from new writers have. Often you'll open up a first issue and that first page is just like a solid block of dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when the wars in Karanthapa began, and it just gives you way too much information up front and it's very off-putting. The way to actually do it, I think, is hit people with a splash page or a shocking image at the beginning. This one hits us with a trial and they say guilty, and you're like, okay, where are we going next? And then it immediately cuts to that same guy coming out of prison, which is too much of a time dash. Like, there's actually not enough information there at the beginning to set up anything particular about those characters, because that guy is made guilty. We don't know anything about him. He's taken out of prison. Somebody's yelling at him, and we don't know why. We don't know any of the circumstances of any of these things. So the reason I bring this up is I do think, in particular, for anybody who is trying to tackle a comic for the first time, try to find a happy medium there. Like, don't pack all your information up front, but you do need to give people a little bit to tease and draw them in before you start hitting them with whether it's issues you want to bring them in, what other characters you want to talk about.
Right on.
That's all. All right, moving on to another Valiant comic book. We'll do two in a row. Coming out February 27th, The Forgotten Queen.
Yeah.
Now, this is a new character from Valiant. This is the opposite of what we were talking about before.
Right.
Totally new property. Basically, The Forgotten Queen, as far as I understand it, is war. She's war, and we get to see her throughout the ages.
Yes, there's a lot of time spent with her in the modern age, and then back chilling with Genghis Khan. It's really interesting. The character seems interesting. The design is cool. She has like red patches on her cheek, so you can always tell who she is, even though you don't know when she is. And you don't quite know what her powers or what she does. She can sort of heat up people, make them willing to fight, get very angry, which obviously she controls Pete.
Yep.
So I'm interested. The last page has a nice little reveal in it.
Yeah,
and, it's cool.
Even war can still have time for love, man.
Yeah.
One thing I would be super interested to check out at some point is the history, like the timeline of the Valiant universe, because they have a habit of doing things like that. It's throwing things in that have existed throughout history. Like, you have the Eternal Warrior and his brothers. You have the Britannia series. You have this series, a couple of other things. How they all fit together, because there has to be a timeline somewhere.
Yeah.
But it is very fascinating to me that it's not these simple retcons that other comic book universes do. It's instead, hey, here's a character that's existed since the beginning of time. Follow them as they influence all of history. So how does that lock in with everything else? I don't think there's anything contradictory here, but I think, I don't know. It's something I was thinking about while reading.
That could be cool for a future short series down the line.
I just thought it was a little like, all right, we get it. You know, at the beginning of it's this lady. And then I just felt like it was kind of beating us up a little bit as we went around, and then had the fun kind of reveal at the end.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious enough to see, I think, where it goes. And the art also is very good. One coming out March 13th, The Life and Death of Toyo Harada. Now, Toyo Harada has been the antagonist in the Harbinger series. He's been an anti-hero in his own series a couple of times. And here, as implied by the title, we get to go back to his origins and also see potentially where he is going to end or how he's going to end. The bulk of the issue is him working with his current team, which is kind of like the evil Harbinger team, as they build a space elevator. this is awesome. I love that team, and I love Toyo Harada. I think it's just such a great character.
Yeah, it was cool. Seeing the backstory of him as a kid, I hope they continue that throughout, because that was cool. And the space elevator was cool, too. What a weird idea.
Yeah. It struck me a little bit, at least the past stuff, like Magneto Testament by Greg Pak. I mean, this is dealing with Hiroshima instead of World War II, but it had a bit of that sense to it with really trying to ground an evil character, give them a motivation, give them an understanding based on a very traumatic world event.
Yeah, I had a hard time with this one because I don't like this guy. So then having to read a whole comic about him and how evil he is was kind of a little like, fuck this guy.
Do you like the evil alien who he works with who likes to tear apart gorillas?
No, that was super graphic.
What about the evil robot that he works with?
Seeing that gorilla with its legs like just cut off was so graphic and like disturbing.
What about, do you like the evil lady he works with who genetically modifies people?
No.
Okay, what about the guy who is... A bad former operative of the good guys.
You're talking about the rabies face guy?
Yeah, Raw Dog.
Yeah,
that's not his name.
Raw Dog.
I don't think it's any of those.
So. I don't know. Those are a lot of terms I use with my friends when we're out at the bar.
Oh, cool. Wow. You haven't been out at a bar very long as a 21-year-old.
Don't dark me, bro. Right?
Yeah, that's definitely another cool term.
Cool. Moving on to DC Comics, Female Furies number one. This is our last title we're talking about. This is by Cecil Castellucci, who we had back on the show a really long time ago, years ago. So check your archives for that. If we even have a podcast of it, I honestly don't remember.
Yeah.
But this is focusing, as you can imagine, on the Female Furies of Apocalypse. This is one of the Wonder Comics, right?
I believe so, yes.
So this has a very different tone than I think you'd expect.
Yeah.
There's some funny stuff throughout, but there's a very strong, very dark feminist bent to it as well. Because they outline in the book Apocalypse as very stratified between the male and female contingents. What did you think about this book?
I liked it a lot. The future of Fourth World is female is the tagline of it. And I think that's the art. First off, the art has sort of a 1970s feel to it. A lot of the books we're actually talking about this week sort of had a retro feel to them. This one, I think it works really well. It feels you get the big sort of superheroic, supervillain side of the characters, as well as just the fucked up little exchanges they have with each other and the way they just abuse each other. I like the story. It's great.
Oh, I hated it, man. There was like a lot of rape, a lot of bullshit. Like, fuck you.
Yeah,
no.
But it's not being told. It's told being told for the poor.
Yeah, it's not saying
that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I know. But it's still,
you don't want to see
tough.
That.
Yeah, I don't want to see that, especially for people who we're rooting for. And, you know, and plus the whole pageantry bullshit. I mean, it was very powerful to see, like, people have to go through that, you know, but man, it was rough.
I gotta say, I did not open the comic thinking I would watch Big Barda do a baking contest.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
But I think that's to its credit that it can sort of tonally show something that is meant to be funny while also showing a serious sexual assault.
It took me a while to get a handle on what the book was because of all these different tones, but I really appreciated it and was more interested in it by the end once we had gone through that whole journey, and once what happens at the end happens, I think this is going to be a really interesting one to check out.
Yeah, I truly don't know where the story is going to go, and that's exciting.
Yeah. All right, guys, if you would like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on down. We'll chat with you about comics. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Run us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more, and we'll see you at the comic book
show. Check out our live stream of Pete's surgery coming soon on Valentine's Day.
Not cool, dude.
Gotta get in those guts. Get in that meat.